podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Android App Arena is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Android App Arena, episode 34 for Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Battery. This episode of Android App Arena is brought to you by MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable and hip underwear you'll ever wear. Check out all the styles and get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/twit. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Android App Arena. I'm your host, Jason Howell. Let's talk a little bit today about battery performance on our mobile devices. It's kind of an understatement to say that how well your battery is managed means the difference between making it through an entire day on one charge or having to find an outlet to plug into multiple times just to avoid a dead battery. And when talking about innovation, it really seems that modern battery technology currently has only one way to improve itself, and that's higher capacity. If you want a phone that lasts all day, you either have to buy a phone with a ginormous battery or a phone that allows you to remove and replace the battery on the fly. But, you know, as you well know, more and more devices don't allow you to swap those batteries out. So your only recourse then is to analyze how you use your device and make smart choices as to how you can alter your use to account for improved battery performance. There are many apps in the Google Play Store that go to the extreme. They disable antennas that aren't being used, or they determine aren't being used, which can reduce the rate of battery depletion. They act as task killers that automatically or manually, in some cases, kill processes deemed unnecessary. And that, you know, the attempt there is to save CPU cycles that are being used on those unneeded processes. But a lot of people see this as kind of a snake oil solution more than anything else. Sure, you can kill those processes, and it's pretty satisfying to take matters in your own hands like that, but you might actually be doing more harm to the performance of your device than good. And actually, modern Android versions manage this stuff automatically in the background at a system level. And what can I say? I trust Google to manage that as best as possible. So today, I'm not going to dive into those types of apps. What I'm going to show off here are a few apps that'll empower you to understand your usage, apps that bring your battery performance front and center so you can monitor what's going on under the hood and make a more informed decision based on that information. Let's take a look at four awesome battery monitoring apps in this week's roundup. Today, we're going to start with an easy one. It was featured on episode 198 of All About Android a few weeks ago and won swiftly in the arena on that episode. It's called Battery Percent Enabler, and it seemingly does something that I would have guessed requires root access, but alas, it does not, and it's actually very handy. So first, take a look at my battery meter at the top of my tablet. What a boring, solid, white-looking battery. When it's run down, I'm bored by its lack of precision. That is until Battery Percent Enabler. After installing the app, I run it, and all I have to do is tap this button to enable Battery Percent, then reboot my device. And once I've done that, voila, that solid battery is replaced with a battery that shows the exact numerical value of my battery charge. You can actually uninstall the app at that point, and that percentage will still show because the app simply modifies a system setting. Then, if you wish to revert, simply reinstall the app, uncheck that box, and reboot, and boom, you're back to normal. But you won't do that because numbers are useful. Find Battery Percent Enabler in the Play Store for free. Next up is Battery Panic, an app that monitors your device usage over time to present three key estimates. First, charge level, which is the percentage of battery charge left. There's time remaining, which is based on estimates that are calculated inside Battery Panic based on your usage of the device over a predetermined amount of time. And I'll get to that in a second. And finally, charge rate, which is shown as a positive percentage when plugged into a power source. But it's possibly even more useful when unplugged. It then shows a negative percentage. If you happen to notice an abnormally large discharge rate, it's possible that something is going on behind the scenes on your device to eat up battery quicker than normal. Alarms can be set for each of these estimates so that, for example, if your time remaining drops below your threshold, you'll be notified of the event and you can act accordingly. Now, Lollipop does have some similar options to this, which allow you to set a threshold at which time battery saver mode kicks in to throttle back certain high usage activities on the device. But Lollipop only monitors at 5 or 15% remaining, so Battery Panic at least gives you a bit more flexibility. And finally, you can swipe left or right on the usage graph to determine how much time and data is factored into the calculations that Battery Panic makes. Showing more makes everything more accurate but less reactive. Showing less makes everything react to current conditions more rapidly, but if things suddenly change, estimates might become less accurate. Battery Panic is free in the Play Store. Next is an app that, again, was featured in the arena on All About Android, episode 77, and it won that time. That was way back in 2012, and since then, the developer has been very busy keeping it up to date and recently gave the app a material design makeover. So let's take a fresh look at Battery Widget Reborn. First, it has widget in the title, so let's tackle that part first. Battery Widget Reborn offers two distinct styles of widget. First is a circular battery percentage widget, and inside the widget config screen, you'll find a ton of customization options from changing what metric is shown, like battery remaining, time remaining, and a few others. You can customize colors to match your home screen, add a customizable drop shadow, and set an app or action that happens when the widget is tapped. The second widget is basically a graph to monitor how long you are expected to have juice. Now, underneath these widgets is a fully featured suite of battery-related glory. On the main screen, you get all the basics of your battery, including current temperature, because if it's running hot, it's inefficient, and that's going to affect its performance. This power settings tray allows you to toggle things that may or may not be eating into performance as well. Battery history gives you an interactive chart for monitoring your history, and you can see some useful longer-term stats at the bottom. Notification features are extensive and fully customizable, so you can throw in your favorite toggles, you can show the chart in your notification tray or not, and tweak the look of the item in your notification shade in a bunch of ways to make it blend in nicely, particularly with Lollipop. And Battery Widget Reborn also includes a bunch of automatic power saving options like night mode for limited device functionality while you're sleeping and you don't have your device plugged in. And finally, a few extra themes are thrown into the mix as well. Battery Widget Reborn is packed with features, but not overwhelmed by them. Find it for free, as well as the Pro version for $2.49 in the Play Store. And finally, what if you consider yourself a hardcore battery fan? Like, let's not sugarcoat, you want all the data. That's where GSAM Battery Monitor comes in. GSAM shares some of the same functionality as Battery Widget Reborn in the sense that it tracks a lot of the same data. So you get the standards like how long you have on a charge, current percentage, temperature, and all that. But GSAM goes further. GSAM breaks down your battery usage in more granular ways, showing you all the different connections that have pulled from your battery: Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, your phone's radio. There's also screen on time, phone call time, and probably the most important metric, app usage. Let's face it, not all apps are created equal, and sometimes apps go rogue. That often comes with the cost of extreme battery depletion. GSAM tracks how much of your battery has been consumed by these various apps that you use throughout the day, including those that run in the background as processes. You can show power used per app in percentages. Network data usage is useful when, let's say, you have an app like Dropbox that suddenly syncs 5 gigs worth of data to your device. Now you know why your battery just took a big hit. And finally, you can monitor kernel wake locks inside the app, which can actually prevent your device from going into a deep sleep state when the screen is off, and that can really tear up your battery efficiency. GSAM includes a number of interactive charts. There's a bunch of alarms that you can set, power profiles for advanced users, and, hey, themes for the app as well. There are also 3 widgets, though don't expect a lot of customization for those. But really, the power of GSAM, in my opinion, is how the apps you use affect the battery you so desperately need. GSAM Battery Monitor is free with a pro version for $2.49 in the Play Store. Not sure if you noticed in the GSAM review, but one big reason why my phone's battery performance was suffering in those screenshots was the T-Mobile My Account app. It got all sorts of freaky and started draining my battery ferociously. I've had it installed for a few weeks now, and it suddenly started doing that. I uninstalled it thanks to the GSAM data, and hey, what do you know? My device is back on track. And that's the point of today's episode. Simply knowing which app is going rogue is sometimes all you need to know to make an impactful change to your setup. All right, before we move on, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. That's MeUndies. Don't worry, I'm not going to get into, you know, TMI territory too much anyways, but seriously, you need to know about MeUndies.com. Why? Because we spend 90% of our life in underwear. That's why. With MeUndies, you'll get great fitting underwear that's 2 times softer than cotton. MeUndies are the most comfortable underwear you'll wear. Plus, they're stylish. Polkas to plaid to funky pinstripes to dozens of colors for both men and women. My sock drawer is super colorful right now. Check out these photos for yourself. You just go to MeUndies.com/twit to do that. This level of quality would typically retail for 2 times the MeUndies price. No retail middlemen means you save more with MeUndies. They're made from an environmentally friendly and incredibly soft fabric called modal, which is sustainably sourced from beechwood trees in the Austrian Alps. And I can attest, it's super soft, way softer than any cotton that I have in my sock drawer. MeUndies fits perfectly and pull moisture away from your skin so you stay cool. Having comfortable underwear will absolutely change the way you feel every day. Once you try MeUndies, you'll never go back. So get yourself some good underwear. Go to MeUndies.com/twit and get 20% off and free shipping on your first order. Save even more when you buy a pack. They guarantee you'll be happy or your first pair is free. That's 20% off when you go to MeUndies.com/twit. And we thank MeUndies for their support of Android App Arena. All right. If there's one thing I can say as a parent of a 5-year-old about the pull of technology in our house, it's that YouTube is God. YouTube is supreme. Rather, YouTube gives children access to an unlimited amount of content that they care about. Sure, watching people open up surprise Kinder eggs for 15 minutes doesn't make sense to me, but to my daughter, it's like she's sitting down with a friend at their birthday party. And often the stars of the show are other kids her age. It's an interesting shift in what classifies as entertainment. When I was a kid, I'd turn on the TV and watch cartoons. YouTube takes the place of that for my daughter, and most of it's created by other families, just like ours. But YouTube, as you well know, also has a lot of content that isn't fit for kids. And once she's, you know, of reading age, she's going to be exposed to the polluted comments attached to some of those videos. Well, Google is attempting to take control of that scenario with this week's Big App. Google's newest offering is focused specifically on presenting a YouTube experience tailored for kids. It's called, fittingly, YouTube Kids. And not only is it an entirely new front end for YouTube on mobile devices, it's curated by YouTube staff. Each video and playlist that appears inside YouTube Kids has been scanned, both algorithmically and then scrutinized by someone behind the scenes, minimizing the risk that you'll leave the room with Thomas the Train playing on your child's tablet and return to find PewDiePie swearing like a sailor. The interface presents a side-scrolling carousel of large, colorful thumbnails for videos and playlists. Now, up at the top are 4 categories: shows, music, learning, and explore. Depending on how old your kid is, they might have a hard time understanding the differences between the categories, but the side-scrolling carousel eventually cycles through all 4 categories in succession, so swiping ultimately shows you everything anyways. Tapping into any video pulls up a full-screen player, hiding the controls, and if you tap the video again, pulls you out to reveal other videos within the playlist, as well as minimal controls for video playback. In the top right corner is a search option for finding videos not presented to you already, and voice search is included there. Now, search might not be something your kid is capable of yet, or you might just want that option gone for good. Tap that lock down in the corner to go into the grown-up settings. Parents, or kids that know how to read, simply type in the 4 numbers that are spelled out on the screen to access those settings. There, you can remove the search bar. You can also clear the watch history And this is neat. You can set a time limit for usage of the app. Once the time limit is reached, the app actually locks, keeping your kid from watching anymore. Now, Google says this is early days, and I like where it's headed. As a parent myself, I have a few suggestions. One, Chromecast support. My daughter is far too used to casting to our TV set, and this limits that. There is no support yet. Two, personalized content. If I know of a kid-friendly channel that isn't browsable through the app, as a parent, I want to be able to add it. Because if my girl can't find videos by her favorite creators, she'll refuse to use it. Because, three, YouTube, the full app, is installed by default on Google-certified Android devices, meaning there's nothing stopping my daughter from hitting home and then loading up the fully featured YouTube app, complete with all that unfiltered content. That keeps this from being a truly effective sandbox experience, unless you're running Lollipop and you utilize the app pinning feature. So while this is a great start, there's plenty more to tackle here, but big props to Google for recognizing the need of an app like this. You can find YouTube Kids for free in the Play Store. And just for the record, I handed my daughter a phone with YouTube Kids installed on it the morning that it launched, and it was pretty hilarious. She saw the icon. She was like, okay, so then she launched it. Then she waited for a few seconds, totally confused. And after a few seconds of playing with it, looked up at me with kind of a worried look on her face and said, what is this, Dad? Where's the real YouTube? So, you know, she may know too much at this point. We'll see. Or I need to be a better parent, I guess. Maybe it's that too. Hey, thank you for joining me today. I love hearing from you guys. And your recommendations continue to be very useful to me. I am working on another user-submitted episode. So send your favorite apps, new categories, whatever you happen to have to arena@twit.tv. I read them all. There's also a subreddit for the show. I post categories and ask you to tell me about your favorite apps in those categories, why you love them so much. If you have input on some of your favorite apps, head on over to androidapparena.reddit.com and share them with me and the other members of the Reddit community. You can also follow me on Google+. I often post about Android there. I also host a live viewing party of each week's episode where I'll be on set to answer any questions you might have about the apps in the show or really anything at all about Android. That happens every Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Pacific following Tech News Tonight at live.twit.tv. And of course, if you missed the live taping, have no fear. Each week's episode appears later that night on the site and in the feeds, and all those details can be found at the show page. That's twit.tv/arena. All right, that's it, folks. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Jason Howell. I'll see you next week
in the arena.